Welcome everybody to the Primal King Podcast. I am Derek Wilson and this is episode number one. So before we dive into the episode, I want you to understand this is actually part one of a three-part series to lay out how the Primal King movement started, the value and the lessons that I've learned, and hopefully that can be helpful to you. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name's Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. What is up, Primal Kings? Hey, my name's Derek Wilson, and this is the Primal King Podcast. All right, guys, so this is episode number one. This is the brand new podcast, again, the Primal King Podcast. And so in episode one, what I want to do is I just want to give you kind of the format of how the podcast is going to work, and I also want to give you the reason as to why this podcast exists. Okay, so if you're listening to this podcast right now, chances are you're wondering, what does Primal King mean? Does this mean like, is this like some paleo food diet podcast, or is this something about wanting to be a caveman again or any of that? The answer is no. All right. So the Primal King movement is built around three principles. It's built around liberation. It's built around lifestyle, and it's built around legacy. Okay. So again, it comes back to liberation, lifestyle, and legacy. Let's start with the first pillar, because we're going to be diving into this a lot throughout the course of the podcast. We're going to have different guests who have been able to move through the liberation phase. But this is kind of where most men are right now that I speak with, are in the pre-liberation phase. What I mean by that is they're in a position right now to where they're just living life. Okay. Most men right now in our current society, in the current, if you want to call it the current state that we live in, for most men, we just kind of get by, right? Like we're trying to figure out how to make ends meet and how to pay our bills and how to make our wife happy and how to keep the kids happy and, you know, raise up our kids right. And we also have our responsibilities and businesses and jobs and careers and, you know, all of these different things. Before you know it, it's like finances and kids and wife and everything and just blah, 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 blah. And so all of a sudden what we do is we just kind of want to take a step back and just get by, right? We stop trying to thrive in life. We stop trying to, create like this crazy good lifestyle. We stop trying to create this amazing legacy for our future generations, because we're so caught up and the noise is so loud. All we want to do is just get through to another day. Maybe some of you can relate to this. If you can, this is going to be the podcast for you, okay? If your life is great and you don't want to hear different principles or different skill sets or different methods to get through this, then hey, maybe this isn't the right podcast for you, and that's fine too, all right? So the goal is, again, is to get people onto this podcast. I'm going to be having different guests. I'm going to be doing solo episodes. But the whole point of doing this podcast is to advance through the three stages of the Primal King Code. Okay, so again, it starts with liberation. This is, how do we break out of that vicious cycle, that hamster wheel, that just, you know, that malaise that we all have and just trying to get to the next day and to the next day and then to the weekend and then to the next year and wait until the kids move out of the house. Like, how do we break out of that to be able to actually have the passion and the fire and the desire in our life? How do we do that? Okay, so that, again, that's going to be discussed in this podcast. Once you're able to face the liberation, once you're able to move through that and understand that there is actually a problem with just simply getting by, now we move into the lifestyle phase. Okay, the lifestyle phase is helping you create the lifestyle that works for you, okay? Not the lifestyle that someone else prededicates or predetermines that you're going to live your life around. For example, someone else may tell you that you have to be to work at 8 in the morning, you have a lunch at 11, and you have to go back to work at noon, and you have to leave to go home at 5. Like, whatever that is, someone dictating to you what you are going to do with your day, that's not a lifestyle, my friends. That's a prison. Right? Like, and I'm not saying that if you're working a job, you're in prison right now, but if you're working a job and all that you can do is just wait until the next bell goes off, until you can get a lunch break or you can get a smoke break or whatever break you're looking for, And then finally, when the bell goes off at 5 o'clock, you can leave and actually live your life for the next couple of hours before you go to bed. That's not a lifestyle, my friends. That's a prison. It is. It's a prison. You're not living a lifestyle doing that. I mean, ask yourself this question. Do you believe that you were put here to be either in a car or at your job for 10 hours a day, every day? Okay, the average person sleeps, what, 7-8 hours a day? So that means that you have, what, 5, 6, maybe 7 hours a day to actually do what you want to do. I mean, just think about that. And that's probably if you don't even have a wife and have kids and have a family, right? Have, you know, soccer games and all these other obligations that are out there. And that's if you're only working like a 40-hour a week job, right? So think about this, like the lifestyle that you want, it is available. Okay, and I'll get into kind of how I changed up my lifestyle and some of the things that I've done to be able to live the life that I live now. But there were some hard decisions along the way. Okay? Now, once you have the lifestyle you want, that allows you to start building the legacy that's going to last on beyond your years, okay? Because most people that go to work and they work 40 hours a week and, you know, they make an impact maybe around their employees, their coworkers, you know, maybe around the people that you employ if you're a business owner. But so often you're so caught up in just that day-to-day grind that you're not creating a legacy. You're essentially just getting by so you can go and do what you want for a few hours a week. Okay, so how do we build that legacy? How do we do something that's bigger than us? Okay, and again, what all that I can do, guys, is I can tell you what I've been able to do to build the best legacy possible. And it's nowhere near where I want it to be. And I also hope that you understand that when I talk about legacy, this isn't some ego-driven, martyrdom, right? Like I'm not trying to build a legacy because I want everybody to remember me when I'm gone. It's more about building a legacy that your kids can carry on. That when they look back at you, when you've died, they know that dad did more than just get up and go to work every day and come home pissed off because his job sucks and his life sucks. That's no legacy to leave behind for your kids, right? I mean, I don't see that being the legacy that you want to leave behind for your kids. So that's why the three pillars of the Primal King Code were created, because these are the steps, in my belief, that every man goes through in order to actually get to the point where you live a fulfilled life. You have to be liberated because society has told you and told me from the time that we were 5 years old, 3 years old, since we were old enough to understand that here's what you do. You wake up, you go to school, you hear a bell ring. That means you sit down and you shut up. You hear another bell ring. That means you get to go play. You hear another bell ring. It means you go back to school and you sit down and shut up. And we've been programmed over years to understand and to believe that this is actually normal. Okay? So I'm not here to rip on school either. School has a lot of huge, huge benefits, you know, social benefits and everything like that. But the school that your kids go to right now and that my kids go to right now, that was great in the 40s and 50s and maybe even the 60s. But we live in a different world now. We don't go by bells anymore. People work when they want to work. Like, that's the beauty of technology, right? And so we're still training kids to do what we used to do 60, 70 years ago. And so how do we get liberated from that? Because guys, one of the hardest things for me, because when I had a job before I started this entrepreneurial journey, when I actually had a job, one of the most challenging things for me was to not be an overachiever at my job, right? And so that actually caused almost more stress because I wanted to be the best employee that I could. I wanted to perform. But if you're on a salary or if you're on an hourly wage, it doesn't really do you any good to excel. And so then you just kind of say, okay, fine. I'm just going to kind of get by because my salary is good enough. You know what I mean? Like, I have my bills paid. Yeah, I don't have any money to do anything else, but I have my bills paid, you know? And we just kind of slide into that method, into that mode of thinking. So again, what it comes back to, guys, is the first thing that we have to do is we have to get in to that liberation mindset. We have to figure out what it is that we're doing with our life in order to be able to have that liberation so we can build the lifestyle that we want, all right? So again, we're going to start off with liberation, we're going to move to lifestyle, and we're ultimately going to move into legacy. And every conversation that we have, I'm going to be bringing in some powerful, powerful people to be able to go through this with you. So that way you have other people outside of myself talking to you about these same scenarios. So here's what I want to do in the first episode now, is I kind of want to go and just briefly take you through what brought me to this point to start this podcast. So hopefully as we move forward together and more of you start listening to this, you'll kind of have an understanding as to where this all started and where I am now. And hopefully you'll be able to take some of the nuggets that I've had to go through and learn on my own. And maybe it can help some of you avoid some of the pitfalls and some of the struggles that I went through. All right. So what I would say is that really the journey of this started about 3 years ago. Okay. So it was just about 3 years ago at the time of the recording right now when my dad died. Okay, so I want to take you back to about 3 years ago from right now, because my life actually was really good at that point. I had a really good job. I was making well into the six figures. I had pretty much as much time, freedom, and flexibility as I wanted. You know, we had just recently before that purchased our dream home. It was the 3,000 square foot house on 7 acres in the country. And I had my man cave set up in the basement with my 75 inch big screen TV. Like I had my, brand new GMC, leathered out pickup. Like, and I'm not telling you all this to brag. What I'm telling you is that I felt like I had absolutely everything that I ever wanted in life that would deem me as a successful person. Okay. But still having the house, having the vehicles, having, the money in the bank account, being able to essentially do whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, none of that actually fulfilled me. And that's where kind of the liberation part of this comes from, because I was led to believe, because I grew up very poor, especially up until I was kind of like middle school age. My parents were divorced when I was 10, and probably the most money that my family ever brought in a year until the time I was 10 years old was maybe like $20,000 a year, like maybe somewhere right in there, $20,000 or $30,000 a year. And that's for a family of at the time, five people. So like, we didn't have any money. We didn't have nice vehicles. We didn't have any of that stuff. I grew up on a ranch in the middle of nowhere. We learned work ethic. We learned how to, solve problems and stuff like that, but we didn't have any money, like at all. And so as I got older, I felt like in order for me to be successful, I needed to have all the things that I didn't have growing up. I felt like I needed to give my kids all the things that I didn't have growing up. And so once I got to the point to where I could do that, to where I could buy the things that I wanted that I wasn't able to afford when I was a kid, I thought, okay, that'll make me happy, right? That'll give me the joy that I feel like I want. The truth is that it didn't, okay? So shortly after this, I'd been making good money for a few years and things were just, financially, my marriage was great, kids were great, like all of that, but it was almost like there was still something missing. And then the weird thing happened that kind of put everything in perspective. And I guess it's not a weird thing. It's more of a tragic thing. But I was actually driving into the office one morning. And right after I got to the office, like it just felt like a great day, right? Like it was just a great day. I actually had just started this new course on doing like some different personal development stuff. And I felt like it actually was really kind of opening my mindset and my eyes to different things. And I remember sitting there and I was actually on a work call. And at the time I was working with my brother, my older brother. And I got a phone call from my dad, from my dad's home phone on my cell phone. And I saw it and I just ignored it because I was on the work line. And a couple minutes later, I got another call from my dad's home phone number and ignored it again. Again, I was still on a call. And then about, 2 minutes later, 5 minutes later, my brother comes over to my office because his office was right next to mine. And he comes running over there and he said, "You need to hang up the phone right now. You need to hang up the phone right now." And I'm like, "Man, I'm about to get this deal." Okay. I was working a sales job and I was like, "Man, I'm about to get this deal. This deal pays me out, $1,500 or whatever it was." And I'm like, "I'm not getting off the phone." He's like, "No, get off the phone now." And so I tell the guy, "Okay, sorry, something just came up. I got to call you back." And I get off the phone. He says, you need to call Drew, who is my stepmom. And so, okay, everything all right? He's like, "No, it's not. You need to call." So I call and she starts telling me how my dad, again, this is probably like 9:30 in the morning, was out moving cows. He still lived on our family ranch and got in a car wreck. He rolled his pickup. And so I'm sitting there thinking, oh, geez, here we go again. Because my dad was one of those people larger than life, right? Like absolutely larger than life individual. He was a cowboy. He drank about 18 Keystone Lights a day. I'm kind of laughing about it. Like, he was a functioning alcoholic, but he was a great man in so many ways. But again, to me, he had always been larger than life. I've seen the man get bucked off of horses and be life-flighted and be okay. I seen him one time, a bull, like a cow, but a bull, got him down and basically mauled him to within about an inch of his life, and another life flight trip, and he was okay. You know, I've seen him hurt more times, kicked by horses, you know, just stuff that happens when you're a rancher. And I mean, just the guy went through hell, but he always was okay. And so I think that that kind of built up the, you know, the being larger than life side of it, was that he was just always okay no matter what. He went through one of the worst cancers, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, one of the worst cancers you can get. It's incurable. And guess what? Like, he was okay, you know, and this was when I was much younger. And so again, like, when I got that call, I'm like, oh, great. Like, probably going to have to go see him at the hospital, because I lived in more of a, you know, kind of the urban area out here. We're in Idaho. And so I lived in the urban area. And when you got life-flighted, you got life-flighted to Boise. And that was the area that I lived in. So I was like, oh, great. Probably going to have to go meet him down there again. Probably rolled his pickup off doing some stupid cowboy stuff, you know, and have to go see him at the hospital. Well, it was different this time. My stepmom was, you know, saying it's not good. She just kept saying it's not good. It's not good. And so I'm saying, okay, well, is he alive? You know? And well, yeah, he's in the ambulance. He's going to McCall right now. I'm headed up there. McCall is kind of the nearest bigger town to where we are, to where the family ranch is. And so I said, okay, do I need to drive to McCall right now? And she says, well, not yet. Let's see what they're going to do in case they life flight him or anything. And so in my head, again, like, he wasn't dead as far as I knew at that point. And so if he wasn't dead, like, he was going to live again, like, just going back through so many times this whole scenario has played out before. And so then I call the hospital, I get off the phone with her. I call the hospital and I'm saying, hey, like, my dad's en route there. He's in the ambulance. Just wondering if you can give me an update. Are you guys going to life flight him down here to Boise? Because if so, I don't want to drive up there. If you're going to keep him in McCall, like, I'm going to drive up there as soon as I can. Well, we can't give you any information. And it's, okay, well, what do you mean you can't give me any? Well, I can't give you any information right now, you know, until we have whatever, next of kin or whatever. And it's like, well, I'm his son. Like, you can tell me what's going on. No, I can't. It has to be done in person, blah, blah, blah. We don't have any updates from him. And so anyways, I get off the phone and, you know, I'm talking to my sister at that point, and we're both, you know, not doing well because it's not sounding good. And so I call back to the hospital again and they wouldn't give me any updates. And I said, you know what, like, here's the deal. Like, if my dad's dead, I'm not going to drive up there to see him if he's, you know, dead, right? If he's alive at all, I'll be there as fast as I can humanly possibly get there. You know, but just let me know. And finally, the nurse says the last update that we had is that they were performing resuscitation on him in the ambulance. And anything after that, you have to be here in person for us to tell you. And so I was just like, that doesn't sound good. And so anyways, probably another 45 minutes or an hour go by. My stepmom calls me and said, and it was like the weirdest thing, because she said, and I'll never forget, she said, I'm here with your dad. And so I'm like, okay, cool. Like, she's there with my dad. And then the next thing out of her mouth was, he didn't make it. And so it was so weird, like that emotional roller coaster, because she says, I'm here with your dad. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, what's the next steps? And then she says he didn't make it. And I was just like, no, like, and I'm sure that, like, probably a lot of you maybe who has lost a loved one suddenly or unexpectedly, I think it's probably pretty natural to almost be in denial of it. And so I was just like, okay, no, like, she didn't just say that. And then she was just like, yeah, you know, he didn't make it. And so then I, like, end up getting off the phone, and I remember just sitting there in my office at work, like, it was just like time stopped. It was just like the weirdest moment I've ever been in my life. The most devastating, horrific, like, I've never lost somebody that close to me. Again, like, if you're listening to this, maybe you've lost somebody super close to you in the past, and you're like, yeah, I get it. If you haven't lost someone close to you, there's nothing that can prepare you for it. There were so many times to where I'd seen friends and loved ones and stuff go through something like this. And I remember thinking like, gosh, that sucks. But like until you're in that situation, it's unbelievable what happens. Because again, I think you go through that, you know, like they call it the five stages of grief, I think it is. And the first one for me definitely was denial. And then it was almost like I accepted it shortly after that. But I remember driving out to my house because I lived about 30 minutes away from our office at the time and just thinking like, what do I even do now? Like that was like the next crazy emotion, because it was just like that empty, lost feeling. Because again, like my dad was always the person that I talked to about so many different things. And again, he was just such a person that you always felt like would be around. And then as soon as he wasn't, it was just like, what do I do now? Like, I don't even know how to like keep going. And I remember getting out to the house and just like our pastor from the church had called, and it was almost like I was just on autopilot, I guess is probably the easiest way to put it. It was just so crazy to go through those emotions and everything else. And honestly, like reliving it right now is not all that easy. But getting my wife and driving up to where our ranch was, and you know, all the people that had showed up and just all the love and everything else. And I that was kind of where I started thinking about legacy as well, because at that point I was like, this is a legacy. This is a legacy to where every single person in this small town was impacted by my dad, right? Like he never had any money. He never had like fancy stuff. He never really had anything, but he had an amazing legacy that most people could only dream of having. Because the few days after he died, and even still to this day, so, you know, almost 3 years later, it's amazing how many people come up to me and it was like, you know what? Like, I sure miss your dad. Like, I remember this one time when I was needing help so bad and your dad, blah, 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 right? Like, help me in this way. And, you know, I remember him doing this for us and helping us in this way. And I started thinking like, you know what? Like, I have been so selfish in what I've been doing up to this point, because I don't know how many people would say that about me. I hope they would, but I was so worried about taking care of myself and my financial situation. And obviously that impacted my family, my wife and my kids. But I always felt like I was doing it because I had something to prove. And it was never because I wanted to create a legacy. It was almost more like I just wanted nice stuff and I wanted better stuff. And the funny thing is that, you know, no matter how nice your car is, over time, it's going to have stains. It's going to have scratches. And eventually that car that you always thought would be your prized possession will lose its value because it's something material. And that's just the way material things go. That amazing house that we all want to have, over time, guess what? It's going to get run down. The nicest houses over time get run down. And so going through the loss of my dad, it changed me. It changed me in so many ways. And the biggest way I think that it changed me is I started understanding what truly is important in life. And we also knew that we had some really, really hard decisions that we were going to have to make coming forward. You know, what were we going to do with the ranch? Could we afford to buy out my stepmom? Could we even take that big of a risk for something that even though we knew was so important to our family, to our legacy, to our future, to my kids, to all of this, would it really be worth it? And so for any of you who have gone through kind of these life-altering, big, big decisions, right? Like, I mean, we're not talking about a small decision. We're talking about serious money and serious commitment and serious, decisions that have to be made, all while kind of still being in the shadows of all of this grief and, you know, losing my dad and everything else. It was insanely hard, just really, really hard. But if you've gone through these decisions before, hopefully you've done it in a way that was clear head, clear heart. And I feel like that was how we were making these decisions, even though looking back, I know that it probably wasn't as clear. But again, so this is, guys, this is episode one. This is the first part of a three-part series of How Bad Do You Want It? And the one thing that I hope these three episodes to kick off the podcast will illustrate is that if I'm ever getting preachy or feel like, you know, I'm giving you advice, I promise you that I won't give you advice in areas that I'm not already familiar with, that I either haven't gone through myself or helped someone else get through. And so this is going to be the format. But until we can get into, if you want to call it the real episodes, I just want you all to understand the backstory of how this started. Because again, the Primal King podcast is going to be built around the three core principles, which is liberation, its lifestyle, and its legacy. Right now, what I was going through at this point was kind of that liberation. I had a job and it was okay. I was making good money. That was okay. I had a good family. That was okay. Like everything was just okay. And in order for me to break out of that or to be liberated from that, it was almost like something had to happen like this. And so what I chose to do is to use that as a way to propel me into other things. And so again, I hope you stick around to episode number two, because I'm going to get more into how all of this shook out, how the, you know, the potential buyout and what the options were and some of the twists and turns. And I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy looking back on it that we were able to make it through all of this and get to where we are right now. So again, I hope you get to episode number two and then episode number three and every single one after that. I hope you enjoyed, you know, the story, maybe some of the value behind it, and just know that we'll continue building this as it goes. And I can't thank you all enough for making it this far into the podcast. I know that this is kind of running a little bit long, but again, I do appreciate you being here and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Thank you everybody for listening to another episode of the Primal King podcast. There's one thing that I will ask you to do. Please make sure that you are subscribed to the show so you get all of the new episodes coming out. Also, please make sure that you rate and review the show so that way other people can have access to this podcast, to this content, and this community. Again, thank you everyone for listening and we'll see you next time.